Good morning and welcome to this Valentine's Day edition. You can tell, huh? We're all wearing hearts and putting our hearts in our sleeves and doing romantic shit here in the studio. It's just great.
That was the first hour, basically.
Pretty much. Yes. And I still have a bone to pick with you two about how you think I started off all anti. You're not listening. I'll leave it to the audience to say whether that's true or not.
Whenever people get defensive, you know that they're just trying to...
No, I'm not getting defensive. I will leave it to the audience to tell us, do you think I was being a killjoy and a negative, horrible person? Is that your plan, Flex, for Valentine's Day? Is to throw a shoe at a romantic couple? I mean, let's not go there. All right. Okay. So... there's plenty of other stuff we have to get to. I do want to get to sport before like 9 o'clock because last week we left it so late. I think we had to carry on the show for an extra half an hour just to fit the sport in.
I'm sure I saw her speaking.
No. So how are we doing? How's Accrington Stanley this week?
Oh, guys, tougher. They haven't won since, I think, January 25th when they had the upset win against Crewe Alexander.
That's when we became fans.
They've gone four games
now. Talk about choosing the wrong time.
No, guys, they've gone four games now with no victory. They're down to 20th in the basic League Two. So it's not going great. Tough away game this Saturday against Morecambe.
Morecambe.
5 o'clock. And they desperately need the 3 points. They've just re-signed one of their strikers.
Who's that?
I know his name. They just re-signed one of the strikers for a 2011 Honda Accord. And let's put it this way. They've got one more striker than Arsenal's got right now.
Wow.
Giles Tunnington. Is that his name?
He gets free pints every Thursday at the local pub.
That's what he gets for money. All right, so Accrington Stanley, not the greatest thing to start with, but what else do we have to look forward to?
Okay, so the URC is back, in all the fixtures, right? Because we've got the Six Nations right now, so the top players aren't playing URC right now, which would be a good time to go and play those Irish and Scottish and Welsh people. But what happens
is URC short for the unavoidable rugby calendar? Because there used to be a rugby season.
Yeah, but that was like a 10-year ago discussion.
Okay, no, but what does it stand for?
United Rugby Championship.
Okay, and unlimited rugby.
So it goes from September to May.
Okay.
September to June, around there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's okay. It's the biggest thing that we have. Mm-hmm. Some of the games are going to be really shite this weekend because you haven't got the stars playing for the Irish, the Welsh, the Scottish, the Italians. I mean, not that everyone kind of goes for the Welsh stars. I mean, Wales are so shite, they actually had to then give Warren Gatton the flick. They lost 14 games as a national team, 14 games in a row. Worst the Welsh have ever been. I mean, this is worse back in the day.
Since they got out of the mines.
Since they got out of the mines. They've never played this badly at rugby. So, yeah, he's gone. He's mutual agreement. Basically, they said, you're shite. And he's like, I know. And then they've got a new coach.
Oh, no, I'm so down.
Well, he's a Kiwi, so he would have said something slightly different. But yeah, he's out. So tonight you'll see Ospreys versus Leinster. Leinster are 10 out of 10 in the log. They're going to be the best team this year. It's all about who can upset them in the semis. I think that's the thing around them. Edinburgh versus Zebre, both those games at 9:35. Tomorrow, if you're at Ellis Park, you can watch the Lions take on the Stormers. Now, the Stormers went down by 1 point last week to the Bulls. Their chances of getting a top four are impossible. They're hanging off a top eight at best.
Is this the game to go to Ellis Park for, though? Because we know about how it turns into the Walking Dead.
No, you know what? It's 2:30. If you know players, it's a nice day. Wear red.
Okay.
Valentine's. Go to Ellis Park when the Springboks play. Unless you love the Lions.
Okay.
Or if you haven't seen the Stormers in a while. But the big one, Gareth, at the Bulls versus the Sharks at Loftus.
Oh.
Ooh,
that's okay. At 5 o'clock. And there's going to be amateur boxing on the B field before the match.
Wow. Yeah. So how does that work? Are you saying it's an actual event or are you saying people just fight?
No, there'll be a ring. There'll be like this.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's like a scheduled boxing run-up to the match.
It's not just Oaks who, because Simpiwe, I immediately thought, okay, it's guys at the car bar. They open up the back of their bucky or whatever.
No, actual amateur boxing fights.
And then they fight over women or territory.
It's all happening here. I mean, what an exciting place to be. So Loftus, get down there at 3 o'clock, get some beers in the sun. Taking on the Sharks, I don't know how full strength the Sharks are going to be. It's difficult to say with these kind of things, but these are big games. And the Bulls are currently third in the log. They've got a game in hand over Leinster and Glasgow. So they're looking for a top two spot. Top two spot means home, quarter, semis, chance of a home final. Then we've got Munster versus Scarlets after that at 7:15. Benetton versus Ulster and Connacht versus Cardiff. Yeah, let's forget about Cardiff and Connacht. Let's actually forget about the rest of the games because they're not going to have their best teams anyway. It's the Nedbank Cup round of 16 this weekend. Okay. Well, actually this whole week. I mean, there's been games that have been happening. So, of course, this is our FA Cup. This is the big knockout tournament, which ultimately Sundowns or Pirates will win. So Durban City taking on TS Galaxy. TS Galaxy beat Sundowns this week.
Where are they from?
The TS Galaxy.
Okay.
It's next to the other Galaxy.
All right.
So they'll be playing tonight. Saturday, we've got Gallants versus AmaZulu at 3. Pirates will take on Baroka. So Pirates, they need to win this because, you know, I don't think they're going to win the league. They were dealt by Sundowns last weekend, 4-1 at Loftus.
Sure.
Yeah, and then Chiefs will take on Chipper at 6. Anything can happen there.
Chipper United.
Sunday is the big game. Sundowns are taking on the Mapeni Home Defenders.
That sounds like an old age home.
It sounds like a security company who have a kick around in the evening.
Mapeni
Home Defenders.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That's the team.
At least they're not the home invaders because then we'd have to have
them. They lost in the previous round. They lost in the round of 32. But yeah, Mapeni Home Defenders, they just beat the Hungry Lions.
So they're Hungry Lions.
So Sunday, that's the big one there. Look, the Premier.
How do these shitty teams get into this?
How the Nedbank Cup works is that the Premier League teams, all 16 of them, they go through.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another 16 teams that basically come from the National First Division.
Okay.
They've got a qualifying sort of structure.
Like the Mapeni Home Defenders.
So then the amateur Hungry clubs, Lions. Like the Mapeni Home Defenders,
Hungry Lions.
And Hungry Lions and like Raymond's Cash and Carry and those kind of things. They will find a way of like qualifying through their own structures. So it's all there. And then everything goes to, you know, it's like the Accreting Stanley story for local.
No, I like this. I would love us to be the first show that focuses solely on lower level teams that have interesting names and players with stories.
I like lot in the last round, Kaiser Chiefs beat the Free Agents. It could be a dance group for all I know, but they're also a football team and there they are. So obviously like the big thing is the Premier League.
Mashebaleza's Shabin team.
Yeah. If they can get enough players together, they have the chance through opportunity to get into this tournament. It's great.
I like this.
So now all the teams are on a level pegging now. They've all played 24 in the Premier League. So that was the thing. Liverpool always had a game in hand. But now their lead has been confirmed. It's now 7 points. They drew with Everton this week. Thanks, Everton. So Arsenal is 7 points back. There's 14 games to go. But yet they have zero strikers. Seriously, they must go to the Mapeni Home Defenders and see if they can pick up someone on loan because they Arsenal zero strikers. Like is Accrington Stanley have one more at least?
Yes.
So this weekend's games: Brighton versus Chelsea tonight at 10 o'clock. Chelsea are still trying very hard to stay in the top four to get a Champions League spot. Leicester versus Arsenal, 2:30 tomorrow. I'm excited about that one. Man City versus Newcastle. Now, Man City have just lost in the Champions League in the first day against Real Madrid. They had this big sign basically saying, don't cry about the Ballon d'Or not winning it. And then they lost the game. So they'll take on Newcastle, who are a force this season. They really are. That'll be at 5 o'clock. And then Fulham are hosting Nottingham Forest at 5. Sunday, Liverpool take on the Wolves at 4. And then the game that everybody wants to watch, mostly for comical reasons, Spurs versus Man United. Both are dog shit this season.
Yeah.
Both are languishing in the bottom rungs, or like the bowels of the Premier League, just above the relegation zone.
Right, so they're going to be just throwing feces at each other.
It's like if you were a sailor back in the day, they're just above where the poo and the rats meet. That's where Man United and Spurs are.
That's a clever way of explaining it.
And that's where they are. And therefore, it's like a bum fight. It's not going to be pretty.
It's being a witch.
Scrappy goals, but it'll be fun to watch.
This is a great thing that somebody wants to take on and do. But a homeless wrestling federation, you talk about bum fights. So Slippery Pickle says, to increase unemployment, or rather employment, I'll steal the Bucky Bar idea. So that's a good thing to do. You can almost like gather up a bunch of drunk homeless people, make them fight with each other. And then they get a free drink at the end of it. That's because they're going to do that anyway.
They're going to do it anyway. That's
right. But now we can all watch. And don't say this is cruel, because they're going to do that anyway without anyone seeing. They may as well become a spectator sport.
Are you guys going to give them a wash beforehand?
No, they must go in filthy. Part of the strength you have as a wiry sort of homeless person is you may have a really bad poo smell, which would put the other person off of touching you. You got to use whatever you got, right? No.
Funny how the mentioning Man United versus Spurs got us
on all of this. Yeah.
All right. So the other thing to look out for in the next week is the Champions Trophy, the ICC Champions Trophy. So that is the big cricket, right? 8 best teams in the world. Now, the Proteas just played a triangular series with Pakistan and New Zealand, lost both their games because we just don't have the bowlers. We got bats, we can score runs, but we've got no bowlers right now. Yeah. Folks are tired, they're injured.
What happened? Why are they injured?
It's this endless thing of like getting guys to manage their workloads, have a bit of luck. Basically, we are the Arsenal. And I've been saying it, our cricket team is Arsenal. They give you hope, but they just don't have the players. Everyone's injured. So the Champions Trophy will start next week. Today, from 11 a.m., will be the end of this little triangular series where Pakistan and New Zealand are playing. That'll be the little final if you do love cricket that much. Otherwise, next Friday, we are starting ICC Champions Trophy. By the way, the New Zealand-Pakistan will be the first game of the tournament on Wednesday. But next Friday, we play Afghanistan.
Ah, very good.
And I've got to ask, are we taking a knee for the women? Because, you know, Afghanistan don't treat women very nicely. So are we using this tournament?
What did we decide last time? Because I think we must be consistent. I just can't remember what we decided.
No, I was asking the players. What were we doing?
No. What did we say? We said we either don't care about women in Afghanistan or it's a big deal and we should protest.
I think we should. What we came down to is that in the SA20, we should like hurl abuse at the Afghanistan players.
Oh, okay.
That was our mature thing.
We'll stick to that.
But because this is the play, like I said, we're going to go to this tournament. SA cricket's in a great trajectory right now, but we don't have the bowlers for this tournament, so we're not going to win. Okay. So let's get ahead of the scandal there, and let's make this tournament about women's rights in Afghanistan.
Oh, good idea. So we distract people from how
shit. So we distract people from the fact that we just don't have enough bowlers. Okay. I think that's a good call.
I think it's a good idea.
So that's what we do. Okay, there we go.
Everybody, resuscitate that picture of that blue-eyed girl from the National Geographic cover.
Yes.
And everyone wear a mask of her.
Yes.
And
well, just like a current-day woman.
Or burkas, if you can find one.
So I reckon, Proteas, start every game in a burka.
Yeah.
And then as you go to bowl, obviously you take it off and you bat take it off. But I think we do that.
Yes.
So then it'll be seen as like, Proteas. So it won't be seen like Proteas.
That's better than the lost pink another ball, tournament. For example. Really, stand up for women.
Proteas will be the ones going there. Finally, said what they need to say.
Right.
And we do something on like
a. And the rest of us hurl abuse.
As I know, I'm selling the PR here, but we're not going to win this tournament, unfortunately. So let's try and make lemonade out of the lemons here. That's your sport for this Friday.
Oh, that's right. Lee reminded me that women should flash the players because. That's what I suggested last time.
I think locally we should do that just for kids. probably not going to happen in Pakistan.
I'm always in favor. I mean, anytime women want to take the breasts out, I'm okay with that. Perfect. Just bring it on. Shout out to the PE Grey Boys playing cricket in Newlands this weekend. Okay, great. Thanks, Izan. Something we didn't need to know.
Yeah, shout out.
By the way, I did see this from Dave earlier, and I wanted your comments on this. Because Dave seems a pretty strange character. He says, the girl I'm with said she doesn't celebrate Christmas, so we didn't. Today she wants attention. She wished me happy Valentine's Day. I told her I don't celebrate Valentine's Day.
But wait, no.
It's a real tit-for-tat relationship there. No,
but you can't tell the person on the day.
No, it's mean.
It's very mean. So I also think you must always still have these conversations beforehand.
It's mean.
Very mean. Imagine, and I got your whole gift, and I'm excited about getting a gift, and then I get nothing. No, that's not
very
nice.
Mean.
So yeah, you guys must discuss this beforehand. Just like you knew she doesn't celebrate Christmas, that's when you should have said, on that note, I don't celebrate Valentine.
No, that's spiteful. That's what that is.
But does that not make her a Jewish person? They don't celebrate Christmas, do they?
I don't know.
Or maybe.
Did I miss the first
part? Or a Muslim or a Buddhist or a Hindu.
Lots of people don't celebrate Christmas.
Or she could be atheist.
Maybe you just haven't asked her enough questions about herself, Dave.
Dave, I don't know if this is the one for you, huh?
Maybe you should sit and talk a bit, Dave, Maybe you haven't had that conversation since Christmas, like, but it's fucking February.
Dude.
Yeah. Hubba says no drinkers? Question mark.
What did you actually think of the fight?
Yeah, what did you think of the fight? Do you want to do a post-match?
Is he fighting this week?
No, but last week when he fought.
The weekend.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was an absolute masterclass. Say what you want about Strickland, but I think Drake has just showed where he is right now as a champion. Like, the guy is just dishing out lessons.
Mm.
He's phenomenal. He's now 9-0 in the UFC. I can never say enough things about him as a fighter.
I just love how butthurt all the people who were upset that he wore the Trump shirt. I love how butthurt they are. I mean, there are just so many people at the moment who are just so like, someone said to me the other day, you should really stop saying what you say on Twitter. I was like, why? Because it makes me sad.
Well, then you're a sad person.
Then you're a sad person.
That's not a good argument.
That's a terrible argument, right?
Terrible.
And but people will disagree. Isn't that the point?
Yeah. So I put a few posts out on social media around that. And I had some people also say the same things to me in the DMs or whatever. And we had normal conversations after that.
Yeah.
But then on X, obviously the people with
it's fire.
It's just basically fury. Just like, but absolute shit people. Like, just shit people saying and referring to Drake says, no, this thing must get beaten up now.
This thing. Yeah.
Or that's one. Or it's like, guys, you're such losers. You're such fucking losers. So the thing about Trump is that people gravitate towards him because why wouldn't they? The Oak's fucking funny. And he makes being a president look cool. Yeah. And then, so like, butthurt Twitter locally was saying, it's not about that. It's about supporting another country's president. That's why they were so upset.
Yep.
It's like, have you seen our one?
They're not that great, eh?
I don't know that that's a problem.
That's not a problem.
And I think it's all in the wake of this USD funding, all these left-wing
causes. Okay, so the executive order went after that, didn't help.
Oh, okay. So that was before.
So Drake is wearing the shirt.
Didn't you get in trouble with sponsors? Tweeting. Well, they're always terrified of Drake any controversy. Drake is quite smart.
He's like very involved with the sponsors that he has. And if,
okay, good.
I think any of them will drop him.
Good. They should.
But also, this is what happens. People get so scared. But guys, we got to stop being so scared of friction in life and confrontation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just stop. Have your say. Trying to listen. I understand. It's sometimes it's more of a soft personality trait that you would avoid conflict at all costs. Mm-hmm. I get that. But you also have to understand that that's not the natural state of humanity. Like, mostly we are warring tribes. We are warring individuals. We are warriors and shield maidens, and we fucking hurt each other. That's what people have done for thousands of years. I'm not saying it's great. I'd prefer peace, frankly. And I'm okay with the fact that we're not currently beating each other up in the streets. But
it's nice, yeah.
But don't let Twitter X substitute for that deep carnal desire you have to go out to your house and beat someone up.
So just another point in the whole Drickus thing that people don't understand. The people who are most irate are not UFC fans. They don't understand the game.
Of course not.
So Drickus is he's an absolute genius when it comes to demoralizing his opponents pre-match, mm-hmm. and then he fucks them up in the thing, okay? Right. It's an actual science of how he goes about this because he understands the sport more than anybody. Mm-hmm. This Oak's the biggest MMA fan in the whole world, and he just happens to be one of the greatest that does it. And Trump's whole thing is that he's about champions and winning.
Yeah.
Okay. Drickus is fighting an American Oak. Okay. Mm-hmm. But he is the champion. His shirt said Trump prefers champions, right?
Right.
Yes. It's an absolute dig and a piss take at his opponent. But now IOL and all these other fucking weird, weak media people who jumped on Drickus for clout.
No.
All these people who were like, oh, Drickus is the greatest, blah, blah, blah. Then they were so quick to turn on him. They don't understand the sport. The psychological warfare that goes into every single fight, Drickus wearing that shirt made Strickland look like a prick. And it was like, trust me, your president likes me more than you because I'm a winner.
And he does.
But they didn't take 3 seconds to maybe consider that. They were so quick to call Drickus a racist because that's a much easier. That's the next headline grab for these people.
Oh, by the way, I heard such a great response to that or anything else anyone ever says about you that should upset most people but shouldn't really upset you if you've got your brain on properly. You got everything plugged in. Like, if someone says something shit like that to you, you just go, I don't care what you think of me.
Well, thank
That's
you.
That's all.
Drickus doesn't care what any of you pricks think of him. Yes, whether you liked him on the way up or now you're trying to throw shit at him, he doesn't care. The Oak's fucking rich. He made he probably made like $3 million for winning that fight of the weekend. Oh. Obviously, he's got expenses, and but the guy's doing well. He's living a good life.
There we go.
He's engaged. And he's also, champion of the world. I mean, he's happy.
Just by the way, you can support Brigitte and Emmanuel Macron if you like. It doesn't make you interesting. Like, do something in your life. This guy is doing amazing shit.
Stop trying to be liked.
And he's inspiring.
Stop trying to be liked.
Yeah, he's inspiring generations.
Not all of us want to be the popular kid in school. Mm-hmm. Some of us are okay with not getting the Valentine's chocolates. And we're going to carry on with our lives. All right? Okay?
Yeah. So all of those media people in particular, you just keep finding new ways to show how shit you are.
I think it's because they didn't get chocolates at school.
But it's like, oh, isn't it so upsetting?
So what? Get over it and buy somebody else chocolates. Eventually, and buy yourself chocolates.
Yes, get over it. But those people are still stuck in not getting over it in a number of ways. Politically, emotionally, uncles. There are all kinds of reasons that some people have not.
Do something. Yeah. Fix your childhood traumas. Like, be better. Do better. Like, the older you get, the less you can cry about, oh, this happened to me when I was younger. Like, we understand when you're 15 and you don't understand what the world is trying to teach you. But when you're 30 and you're complaining about the same thing, it just looks like you don't want to grow up and be part of life. That's it.
Put that in a bottle.
Well said.
Put that in a bottle and sell it.
Absolutely.
Love it. All right, let's move on to this quickly. While we're talking about Trump, this is a funny thing. Well, it's kind of not funny is the point, because Denmark, in a satirical response to Donald Trump's interest in purchasing Greenland, mm-hmm. which of course belongs to Denmark, thousands of Danish citizens have initiated a petition to buy California.
Oh, okay.
This petition, which has garnered over 200,000 signatures, humorously promises Californians benefits like the rule of law, universal health care, fact-based politics, and Danish pastries. The campaign, dubbed Denmarkification, playfully suggests renaming landmarks like Los Angeles to Los Angeles and Disney to Hans Christian Andersen Land. Okay, so this would be funny, but it's not, because Denmark can't buy California. They can't afford California. California is a state, but it has a greater GDP than Denmark in its wildest dreams. Okay, so it's not funny because it can't happen. Like, Trump could actually buy Greenland.
Yes, and the people of Greenland actually want to be bought.
That's another whole story.
Yes.
But they are very sad.
But it's not funny when a bunch of, like, Europeans, and by the way, Denmark, you chose the wrong state if you're choosing California, because they really like the idea of universal health care, eating pastries, LGBTQ rights, all that shit. So you chose the wrong. Like, if you'd said we're going to buy Alaska,
come on,
I'd have said maybe.
New Jersey. Like, it would have been funny.
Or New Jersey,
because New Jersey's on the east side. You're going to cut it with a knife and then bring it over.
There we go.
See, there's, guys, do better with your jokes. Watch the show. We give lots of ideas.
It's not funny. It's like, it's going to be hilarious when Trump and the U.S. decide they're going to buy Greenland for like $5, and the people of Greenland are like, "Yeah, if you want to go over them." Then it's all going to be great.
That's not how they sound.
See how fucking funny that is then. Is how they sound.
The Greenland people. Yeah. Oh, I just thought they were just depressed drunks most of the time.
They speak Danish in Greenland. Look, only about 0.005% of Greenland is habitable.
I watched the thing about Greenland and suicide rates and alcoholism.
Really?
They didn't come across as Danish at all. Mm. They very much look like people who've grown up on a pile of ice.
Maybe it's because of the ice. That would be very depressing.
It would be. You know how much of our Earth you can't live on? Seriously. I mean, first of all, they're the oceans, which is a huge proportion of the planet, right? Then of the land, most of it is either too hot or too cold. Mm-hmm. So there's a small Goldilocks zone in which we can live. So if you're not in a place where you're always cold or in a place where you're always hot, just be grateful for that and stop complaining about everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if Donald Trump wants to buy your cold expanses for America to drill, baby, drill, let him. Who wants the fucking ice? Well, you know why it's called Greenland?
Fuck, I do know this. I've forgotten now.
Because it's not green. You know why it's called Greenland?
No.
So there's a guy called Eric the Red,
okay,
who was a Viking seafarer and warrior back in, I think, the thousands, 1100s, 900s.
It was called Ginger Eric in school, though.
Ginger Eric. Okay. Eric the Red goes off on an expedition. Mm-hmm. They've already at this point discovered Iceland, mm-hmm. which is what the name says. Like, you go there, it's an island. obviously there's some beautiful things in Iceland, but it's mostly ice. It's mostly cold, especially in the winter months, right? Which are 9 out of 12 of the months. So Eric the Red decides he's going to pull a marketing scam. He was the first, he was the original scammer of his time.
Okay.
He gets back from discovering Greenland, which he figures out pretty quickly is really just cold and vast and not particularly arable.
So Island 2.0.
No, no, way colder.
Oh, okay.
Island's further north
compared to that.
I think you meant Iceland, but yeah. He gets back and he says to all these other Vikings, he's like, well, you won't believe what I found. And they go, what did you find? And he goes, the most amazing place is green everywhere at this Greenland. And these fucking idiots believed him. And they all got on ships and they went to Greenland. And then they
didn't think, we're going very far north for this green dream here.
Exactly. They didn't think, because they didn't think north meant cold.
He must have been a charming guy, that Erica.
Yeah. Yeah. And then when they were scammed, he was like, I'll take your money before you go. You're not going to get in without paying me.
Bitch, he didn't go with them.
Very well.
Yeah. He was just late.
And then he had a son called Leif Erikson, because he was Eric.
Who then started a cell phone company.
Something like that.
So weird names have been a thing.
Oh, in Scandinavia?
You like everyone's, trees in this guy, huh?
Everyone in Scandinavia is either someone's sen, son, right? That, because then you're the son of whatever comes before that. So if you were my daughter, you'd be Simpiwe Gareth's son. Except because you're a daughter, you'd be Simpiwe Gareth's daughter.
Daughter, yeah. See, I think the Olympics teaches us.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what you pick up from all of these.
Sure.
Scandinavia.
But the thing about Greenland is that you think...
Sorry, if I'm so obsessed with Scandinavia, I'm like 68% like Norse. That's my genetic stuff. You remember when we did those DNA tests? Don't you remember? We did those DNA tests and we sent them in mouth swab and then they tell you what your ancestry is. I'm like 68% Scandinavian.
All right.
Yeah. That's why I'm obsessed with them. That's why I know about Leif Erikson and Eric the Red and all of those things.
Okay.
Now you know. So yeah. You learn something new every day.
Mm-hmm.
So you have quotes from Snow White in your diary, Ben.
Let's get to embarrassing shit. Wait, did you bring the diary?
Oh, you know about this already?
Diary's in my bag every day. I'm an organized man.
Can we show you the diary? This is what made us be like...
James, seeing as I can't fight this... It's in my bag, yeah.
Yes.
So, guys, you know, at the start of the year, I like to get diaries because I like to write stuff down.
Yeah, as I much still as, write.
Yeah, I like to have that. So I went to, I think I went after gym one day. I was like, I need to get a diary. So I went to Exclusive Books, anything that was open. And, like, they had no diaries. There was, like, basically this blank Moleskine shit, or there was what I bought. I was like, it's not the best, but I'll have it.
So what is it? Like a girl, schoolgirl's diary?
So So really? I get it.
Yes.
Oh, this is exciting.
So I get it. Like, I come to work here at the start of the year. Of course, Michaela's here making mugs and being fucking mean and shit. And she says to me, is that your diary? I was like, yeah, there wasn't much selection, but it's quite cool. And I was paging.
Show us the cover.
And I was paging.
Wait, show the cover first.
I was paging through
it. There you go. That's Ben's diary.
I said, okay.
It's got a little flower on the cover. That's
so I was going through it, and then Michaela's like, yeah, it's quite feminine. And
very feminine.
And then she had like quite a generic one. I was like, yeah, but yours sucks as well.
Very.
So, okay. So
there you go. It has like flowers in it. It's a very feminine book.
So then, more
flowers.
Oh, wow.
Come on.
Like, there's pictures.
Whoa, wait. And then as you go on, like for the different months, this is a very feminine book, okay. Ben. Like,
every day there's content. A quote.
Come
every day
on.
There's a quote.
Oh, that's great. Be content.
Yes.
Okay, wait.
But it gets better.
So again, you know.
It has quotes.
So now I'm trying to hold my own here. And then I was like, it's got quotes. And the first quote I look at is a quote by Snow White.
No.
So now I'm thinking, okay, this isn't so great. So, like, Wednesday, the 9th of July, right? Beauty begins the moment you decide to be yourself.
There we go, Ben. That's what you've been missing.
So, the previous day, try to be someone else is a waste of the person you are. Marilyn Monroe. Very empowering quotes.
Okay.
So, then Michaela then opens it up, and she reads the first page. I'll let you read that.
First page.
On the left?
On the left, lifestyle diary, planner. Lifestyle daily planner for women, 2025. So you definitely identify as a woman.
So every single day in the office, I get roasted for this thing. But it's like, it's you know, it's...
There's a lot of very feminine shit in there, though, Ben. You didn't know. Bird.
Guys,
be kind. Is like, that be kind?
I needed to get... In a world of algorithms, hashtags, and followers, know the true importance of human connection.
Come on now. Come on.
Ben's girl diary.
Go off queen.
Go off queen.
My girl diary is actually quite a thing. Hey, there's a girl. She's she's tasting a lemon. Don't bite that.
So having this diary, does it bring out the inner feminine in you?
No, it just reminds me that I've got certain things to do. And fuck you guys.
I don't know what to say.
I have a diary. I like having a diary. And then, unfortunately, this is the only one in the shop.
Wow.
Shout out to you, Ben. You're a real one.
Well, Bitcoin Boot says, why are you gay?
Yeah, why are you gay?
embrace your feminine side, Ben. No shame in that, says Homotso. Max Sony says, Ben, is there something you're not telling us?
No, I'm very open on the show. Huh?
Ben, when are you coming to the valley again? The weather is great at the moment, says Roxanne. Roxanne!
Which valley? Sure, Roxanne, that would be...
What valley is she talking about?
Ooh. The Rubik Valley, that one and only. Probably in December again, actually. Yeah.
Even Elton John wouldn't buy that diary, says Vera. Elton John!
Guys, you say that now, but my days are planned, huh?
No, you got a daily planner. Yeah. You really couldn't find a diary. I find that bizarre.
No,
that
I went literally. It was either this or just like a stock standard like Moleskine diary. Journal.
Why did you
thing.
Take that one then?
Because then I got to write the shit down. Then I got to go to someone else's calendar. Then write to the top of the page January 1st. Whereas this, it's got every single day. Right, there's a to-do list there by the Agapanthus, and then. Today,
really? What does it say?
Well,
for Valentine's
glad you asked
Day.
There, James.
Give us a quote.
Connect to your core and you'll find strength. Act from your core and you'll move mountains. That's by Gabriella Goddard.
And funnily enough, that's brilliant because when I asked Ben, when I had a sore back at the end of last year, I said to him, what should I do, Ben? He said, act from your core.
Yeah, okay.
So you see, it's all tying together, Ben.
Look, there's a couple of masculine quotes in here as well.
Like, tell us.
The measure of who you are is what. We do with what we have. Vince Lombardi.
That's very badly written. Vince Lombardi is not first language English.
No, it wasn't a great. Let me look at this one. It has to be virtuous. We've got to
be. What does it say? Be virtuous.
Well, it's just virtuous, right?
Oh, okay. But that's something you value in, in women.
Yeah. I have learned that as long as I hold fast to my beliefs and values and follow my own moral compass, then the only expectations I need to live up to are my own.
Yes.
Mike Obama.
Yeah.
See, there we go. Yes. You couldn't wish for a better diary, actually.
I'm not taking any more shit about this diary, actually. I've suddenly learned to love this.
I support you in your diary. Very good. Why have a friend when you can have such a girly diary? I love it. All the big boy diaries are sold out. Probably.
Well, maybe there's not a market for big boy diaries. Maybe only girls buy diaries, and that's why there was only stock of this.
I used to be a big diary guy. I used to write everything down.
I like writing shit down because then you go back to it. Whereas if it's on your phone, there's so much stuff on your phone.
Also, I had to fill in a form yesterday, and I realized how badly my handwriting has deteriorated.
Oh, no.
I used to be proud of my handwriting. Yeah. I had a good handwriting. I did calligraphy. I used to be able to like really make
That's worse than my diary.
Shut up, Ben.
You have no right to judge.
Can I tell you something?
With a cup of lavender tea and a scone.
Stop it. It was a thing that so I learned to speak French. I learned to do calligraphy. I learned to do a lot of things that
Come on now.
I think these are skills. Anyway, not anymore. Because I mean, you ask me to do that now, I'm going to fuck it up.
Do you grab the pen like you're going to stab someone with it?
No. But now I can't write anymore. It's not illegible.
I write words every day.
Is it as bad as a doctor?
No, it's not as bad as that. Okay. But it's not great. Yeah.
I just always think if you stop doing things, then certain parts of your brain stop
braining. They stop working. Yeah.
Yeah. So I always write things.
Jeez. Yeah, I do a letter every now and then, but it's become – the situation is I have to do a draft first, and that's usually terrible.
Do you write your letters in cursive?
No, I use – print letters.
Okay.
But, you know, it's just, to me, there's something about actually having, like, I picked up a book where I'd written some stuff in probably when I was, I don't know, 20-something, 21, 22. And I looked at my writing and I thought, you used to write so beautifully. What happened to you?
You didn't need to do it anymore.
I've deteriorated in that respect. I feel very bad about that. Next week, Ben will come with his Stanley Cup. Why? Because that's a like girly thing. Oh, wow. Look at the guys getting in touch with their feminine side this Valentine's Day. Sims, did you guys get something special this morning?
No.
Did the guys get you something special? Look at that. That's James's diary.
With the lock on everything.
And you know the great thing is, the Gareth? Gareth, you know what the great thing is? That's the same padlock that goes on his chastity belt.
Now Gareth can order Ben a diary from Temu as a gift. That's a good idea, actually, for next year. No. Tarina Rolls says, that's a great name, Tarina Rolls.
Come on. It sounds important.
I make the diary for our office, and last year I had the motivational quotes, but also added a quote for each employee. My favorite one was, Ak vil no ni na di bas tu gaan ni mar. Okay.
Please translate.
Right, Tarina. I don't want to go to the bus now, but.
Well, that's obviously an inside joke there from Serena.
Yeah, she doesn't.
I mean, she makes diaries. No. She's a very organized woman, this.
Sure. Gareth, can we please talk about Elon's son and how he behaved when Elon was talking to the press in the Oval Office? All right. So I'm glad you brought this up. First of all, do want to say, despite not having kids myself, I think it's nice to see kids in all these situations. I think it's good to have children around. I think children make everything better. You know, Nelson Mandela, when he was in jail, they asked him, what was the only thing you missed? And he said, the sound of children. And I know that if you have neighbors whose children scream or whatever, you can't understand that. But it is a horrible, horrible universe that we live in where there are no child noises. Mm. None. I know, like, do you remember how, who was it on the show that lived in that complex where there were no children?
Wasn't that Mbulelo?
It was Mbulelo.
When he went out, he did not want to see any kids at the restaurant. He would get so frustrated if like a couple walked in there with their kid and the kid just even breathed the same air.
Like everyone on earth needed to keep children. I thought that was very, very odd. Okay, so you don't want, I don't think most people want to have no children around. I think it's really cool that young kids like Elon's ex are in the Oval Office. They just take the edge off of what is ordinarily a very staid, very serious, very boring place. And let's face it, the Oval Office for the last couple of years has just been old, stinky, wee-smelling people like Joe Biden and like 20-something LGBT activists with blue hair and piercings in every part of their face. I would rather see kids. And apparently the kid was like even told the president to shush at some point, which is hilarious. But this is what kids do. So I don't know if you're referring to the fact that the kid was being a child, which is fine. And by the way, one of the reasons that Elon does this, and I know this because somebody who knows him told me, is he reckons that he must expose his kids to as much as possible.
Yes.
So if you happen to be going to meet with the president,
That's a big deal.
Take your kid with.
That's such a big
deal. Yes. I mean, most people would go, oh, no, got to get a babysitter. Can't have the kid misbehave around the president. He's like, no. It's my kid. I'm going to take him. He must learn.
I don't know if you've ever met kids, because apparently they're saying that the kids said, shh, like the real president is speaking. Kids are mean. They will say the meanest thing. They'll be like, why do you look like that?
And inappropriate,
Unfiltered.
And obviously his dad is a big deal in his eyes, you know.
And by the way, I got to say, the kid is dressed pretty smartly.
Come on now.
I mean, he's picking his nose a little bit there. But that's also a kid thing. Look at Donald. He's like, you're a tremendously high IQ child. He said that. He's like, this is X. X is very clever.
And he's really getting the nose.
He does. Yeah. He really does.
So, by the way, I do want to say to all those people who hate Donald Trump, again, this guy loves kids. He's got a couple of grandchildren. They're always around. They love him.
Yeah.
Like, this is our favorite person because granddad is so much fun.
Yes.
And Joe Biden has what? Hunter and the illegitimate bastard child that Hunter didn't want to look after. You remember? You remember that, like, the mother of the prostitute who Hunter slept with, because that's what she was.
Yes.
And then had a kid with. She had to take him to court so that he would pay maintenance for the kid. Now, you can say what you like about Donald Trump, but when you see a kid in his office that isn't even his grandchild, and he's loving the fact that the kid is being a kid.
Yes.
As opposed to being this horrible, grumpy, angry old person who is disappointed by your cokehead son, who's in turn disappointed by his own behavior with hookers. Like, it to me, one is a sign of a good, healthy family. The other is a sign of a terrible person.
Yep. Yes.
Spot on.
But so, the media wants you to think it's the other way around.
So I don't have a problem with this. I don't know what I'm meant to say about it. I think it's great that X gets to travel around. If my dad was Elon and I was X, I'd want to be around him all the time. It's also going to be a hell of a story one day when, you know, Dad, hey, what did we do when I was like, how old's the kid? 2?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You look went to where the I am. Oval Office.
Look at where I am.
So many of us want to go and visit, and so I'm great. Just an ordinary South That's African. So great.
By the way, I see Trump has the World Cup on his little table behind him there. A replica, obviously.
Yeah, well,
is that because it's coming to LA? Yeah,
it's there next. It's going to be there in Mexico.
Yeah, that's good. Look how fucking cold it is there.
Yes.
Hey?
Oof.
Washington, D.C.
Yes. Trump's hair looks good, though.
His hair looks amazing. He's the only guy that doesn't age in the White House, right? Did you see those pictures of like Barack circa beginning of his term to Barack aged at the end?
20 years.
They're great.
For being in office for 8.
He's the right man.
Even
for the
George
job.
W. Bush, who hardly has any brains, right? I love George W. Bush. I always have, always will. He's just like an overgrown kid himself.
Mm. Male cheerleader.
Right. Male cheerleader. That was what he did. He was a male cheerleader for, but he's like, he thinks everything's funny. He's like buddy with everybody, but he even got old.
Mm.
And then Trump, nothing. Nothing.
Because he came in there with a plan and he was like, I told you what I'm going to do. I'm going to do what I said I'm going to do. And now he's doing it.
Ooh, they don't like it, hey? So Tulsi Gabbard was confirmed this week as Director of National Security. Or National, sorry. This,
now she was
National Director of whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. She was a Democrat, right?
Yeah. And then, so she was the Democratic Congresswoman from Hawaii, which is where she was born. She was in the army. She's a combat veteran. Very impressive woman. Mm-hmm. And she has some interesting points of view about places like Syria and Russia. They don't always accord with what people would like to hear because, you know, they were so used to politicians who just do and say whatever it takes to get into office. And we're dealing here with a completely different mixed bag. I saw someone who I admire and respect, Richard Dawkins, going off on X yesterday. And by the way, I've got a new system for X, which I'll tell you about in a second. And I'm not talking about Elon's child. The fact that she has been confirmed is excellent because she's going to go in there and clean out intelligence. And really, all these three-letter agencies are just hiding a bunch of shit, which we've discovered, right? Thanks to USAID, everything over there being blown up. And we obviously, they're good causes and they're good people, but they're also a lot of really fucking awful people and awful causes. But Dawkins said this week, which disappointed me. I mean, I read The Selfish Gene probably in my first year of varsity. And I thought, wow, what a great book. What an insightful, brilliant human being. I've always held him up as being a particularly good intellectual.
Did he write The God Delusion?
Yes, he did. Okay. Yes, he did. And I remember that came after The Selfish Gene. Anyway, Dawkins, very, very clever man. By no means an idiot just because he disagrees with me. But he went off on Bobby Kennedy this week, who was also confirmed. Bobby Kennedy was confirmed as the Secretary of Health. Mm-hmm. Right. And the head of the NIH, which is the National Institute of Health now. And Bobby Kennedy has said some controversial things. He's been such a fighter, though. He was, you remember that movie, Erin Brockovich?
Yes.
About that woman who fought the water
the
thing.
The water and fracking. Yes.
Right. Like Bobby Kennedy was back then already involved in cleaning up rivers, getting poisons out of food, colorants and flavorants and things that they shouldn't have in America. He's always been a big advocate for healthiness. Do lift heavy things, eat less fucking processed shit.
Come on now.
He sounds like exactly what America needs because it's a country that eats horrible stuff.
Yeah.
And they do very little exercise. And he's in his 60s and he's in better shape than most people I know in their fucking 30s.
Yes.
So the fact is, these people have been confirmed. Dawkins goes off on some rant about how I can't believe they'd have an anti-vaxxer as Secretary of Health in the US and what a disaster. I'm like, dude, not you too. Not you too. Why have you been captured by this derangement? Let him have a go. You didn't know who the previous Secretary of Health was, did you?
No. They were like a Pfizer person.
It was probably a Pfizer.
Haven't they resigned even?
But nobody knew. So now Elon is in charge of Doge. Yes. Before Elon, there was some nameless bureaucrat who was meant to cut government expenditure, but never did. Wouldn't you rather know who? And these people are not hiding the ball. You know who Robert Kennedy is. You know who Tulsi Gabbard is. You know who Elon Musk is. All of these people are out there on social media telling you what they're going to do. Wouldn't you prefer that? I would love to have a government where our Minister of Health actually had a position on health.
Yeah. Yes.
Like, run, eat less shit, don't take medicines you don't need.
Yes.
Wouldn't that be great? Instead, all he is another politician who's trying to get your money.
True.
I would love someone in our government to cut costs. Do you think that'll ever happen? No. It'll never happen.
Didn't he say somewhere along the lines they want to ensure that the people, they started what, that 350 grant, and he's like, he wants to ensure that it continues. And
who, it's Cyril?
Cyril Cupcake. Like,
whatever he says.
I love the way the praise singer,
by the way.
Yes, I'm
just saying, like,
I wanted to give credit to Simpiwe. She started calling him Cupcake first, and the praise singer at the Sona said, so I always used to, like, tell people that I changed the State of the Nation address with a drinking game. But you actually brought the nickname Cupcake to the State of the Nation address. Be proud of that.
Yeah. So I'm just saying, like, the plan with our government is to keep people on social grants. And it's like, yeah, that's not a good plan. 26
million of them.
Yeah. Depends. That's not a really good plan, but that's their plan. And I'm just like, we need to change it. But yeah.
That's very controversial, Simpiwe. What, you mean we should have an unsustainable system? I mean, I think that the system.
Logic tells you if there's less people paying tax than the people that actually receives the grants, it tells you that there's a problem, mm-hmm. that the money's going to dry up.
And we're also just losing like 50,000 Afrikaans taxpayers now as refugees.
Come on.
Yeah, they're 50,000 people, according to some reports. I don't know whether they're accurate, have said that they're looking at this refugee status thing and taking it seriously.
The guy in the sauna at the gym told me he's going.
Really?
This guy, he's like his first day at the gym, so he's asking me gym questions. And like, generally men always talk to me in the sauna for some reason. And this guy's like, yo, you heard about this executive bill? I was like, thinking maybe it's a new one because, you know.
Yeah, there's one every other day.
He's like, yo, it's amazing. Hey, like Elon Musk has made this thing so that we can go to America now as Afrikaans people. And I didn't really want to engage with him on this, but there's a guy, an Afrikaans folk. He seemed to have a decent job. He was gymming outside of work hours, like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. He was now going to claim to be the refugee guy. So I didn't want to say to him, do you not think that's a bit fucking weird? Or and he's like, no, I'm very excited about this. It's like, question cool.
Them. Dude, so I've... Cool, man. I'm on the side of what Afrikaans TikTok now. So All the Afrikaans guys that don't want to go to America are making content and they are hilarious. They're like, hello, need drink a pop. I'm not going.
Yeah, again, just like I've always said to anyone who wants to emigrate, I don't care if you're Afrikaans, English, black, white, Xhosa, Zulu, whatever. If you want to go somewhere, go. And if they've made it easier for you to go there,
yeah,
great. I'm all for it. I do worry about a lot of our people who are making an enormous contribution in this country, who are part of the tax base.
Yes.
And I'm not saying that as a fan of government because I don't like the fact that they look at us as cash. What do they look at us as? As like they farm their cash from us. So what would we be? Like heifers, oxen,
yeah,
pigs? I don't know how they see us, but they see us as livestock, and they must milk us for everything we've got. But if you want to go, go. And if you don't, then make this place better. That's what, those are the only two options you got. And I kind of want to make this place better, and I'm not giving up because of any president anywhere. And no,
that's what I always take out of this. It's like, rather than saying his refugee status, which I think was a weird kind of call, it was like, no, how can we make this better? So you guys got land issues? Cool. How can we mediate this?
Yeah.
Because there's so much broken telephone here.
I mean, certainly our government needs to be brought into the realm of sanity.
Absolutely.
Which I like what's happening. So I will say this. I like how Trump has kind of rattled the cage in terms of in terms of calling out the government and saying they are doing, I agree with that statement. The government of South Africa is doing horrendous things to the South African people. I believe that, right? And I think it's time that they get a wake-up call that they're not, you know, doing great by their people. In the same, you know, you could look at it and say, you know, South Africa is also giving America a bit of a challenge in terms of the fact that they're looking at them as a threat. And, you know, Trump can learn a thing or two about like South Africans and how we do things and how we actually are. We do have a spirit of excellence. If you've seen how we've dominated the world in the past few years, we just have also a bigger spirit of corruption. So we need to deal with that. You know what I mean? You know? And so these two fighting and doing it back and forth, I think is brilliant because the one's going to get a wake up call to like, yes, hey, I need to get my things in order in order to play with the big boys. And the big boys are going to realize that, hey, these ones are very dangerous.
They're feisty.
Because in the words of Trikas, hello, Vietni, but on to Viet.
Correct. And that's what it comes down to is that
people. This is an impassioned speech from Simpiwe. You didn't come here this morning for that, but you got it as a bonus.
But people have become so accustomed to shit happening in this country. The ANC are responsible for a humanitarian crisis. No, not because we've Gaza. It's that we're so
the president said it himself, 26 million people who need the state to give them food and
that's a humanitarian crisis.
Security.
That's a humanitarian crisis. So it was called what it is.
You failed as a government when almost half of your population has to live on handouts from the state. You failed. You're a disaster. So that's not something to applaud in the sauna. You heard them all applauding.
Yeah, because they're there for more handouts. So when a president of America looks at some of your laws and speaks to them on face value without knowing your stupid trumped up media backed nuances, that's great. Because now a light must be shined on this shit.
Beaver says, remember Beaver from last week? Beaver says, I ain't no Kermit. I'm getting out of this pot. Okay, good luck. Dude, I mean, anywhere you go and you have my blessing. You listen to the show all over the world, so I don't really give a shit where you live. It would just be nice if a bunch of smart, useful people stuck around. And we do need our farmers. I don't know how we're going to eat if we don't have our farmers. You know, we must never forget that a friend of mine who farms yesterday posted a picture of how he finally got some rain in the Southern Free State. He's been waiting for rain since September, and they haven't had a drop. And finally he got some rain, and he posted the picture of the rain falling and said, thank goodness my luck has changed. Oh. You know, it's hard. You live far away from everybody else, any farm. You have to depend on nature in such a way that if it doesn't rain, you may lose everything that year. Yeah. Everything. Your crops may fail. Your animals may die. The weather can affect anything on you know, the spur of the moment. And it's not easy. And people look at farmers and they look at the land that they have to farm and they think, oh, well, it would be nice to have that land. The work, the way these guys wake up at like 4 a.m. every day, go out, do the things they have to do.
Oh, it's so hard.
It's tough, man. I wouldn't want that job. We need our farmers.
All of 2 months.
Yeah, well, it wasn't my career.
In Israel, right?
It was hard work. It's hectic.
No, it's not easy. You don't want that job. And the people who do want that job and who do it have to love it. And it's not for everybody.
They must be celebrated because they're so important.
We've got to look after them. We've got to look after the people who make a difference in this country. And they're among them. Living overseas is hard enough as a professional, says Snae. I cannot imagine what it must be like living as a refugee. I don't think people understand the privilege they'll be giving up. Look, again, people are going to make their choices, right? I got friends who've moved all over the world. Some of them are extremely happy. Some of them are extremely unhappy. You're going to, and also, by the way, some people are going to be unhappy wherever they are.
Hey, professional complainers.
Complainers and miseries and, you know, a disaster.
Yeah.
Like, they're just bad at everything. And they'll blame the country, and then they'll blame the next country, and they'll find something to blame for their inadequacies.
All the exes narcissists.
Come on.
But some of them will be successful anywhere. I mean, again, you got to look at that kid on his father's shoulders in the White House. You got to think that that father whose shoulders he's on was born right here in Gauteng, right here in Pretoria.
Yes, he does great
He
things.
Went to school here. He did, you know, he did an average sort of life like any other South African could. And now he's the richest man in the world.
Come on now.
And I don't know if that could have happened if he'd stayed here, to be perfectly honest.
No, it wouldn't have been. He would have knocked up a chick at Trademarks at 21. He might have just got a new Fortuna.
He could have taken part in that amateur boxing that you were talking about.
He might have got a new Fortuna this last week if things went okay. Otherwise, he might have a second place in Bronco Sprite by now.
Are you going to the rugby on Saturday?
Yeah.
You do like a trip to Pretoria.
I do, but I'm playing golf, and quite frankly, this isn't the game for it.
Okay. All right. Very good.
Also, there isn't really anyone decent playing at Stuttball this weekend.
Okay. Yeah, no, none of the Finjage felts, any of that stuff.
Big enough.
All right. So Mapelo says, because Mapelo, of course, is our program director on the show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Says, this government believes that South Africa has moral high ground. The days of Madiba are gone. There's no country that cares what South Africa has to say. Hide in the corner until we fix our problems. I don't think you're wrong, but they, you know, the other thing about this government, and I haven't spoken about politics on this show for a long time. We talk about kind of what's happening, but I don't really give political opinions too much of the time anymore. Mostly because who cares, even about me or my opinions. But the fact is, this government they have no immunity to being criticized, because for the last 30 years, the only thing that international delegations, relationships with foreign powers, our diplomacy with every other country on the planet, all of it has been, the country of Nelson Mandela, the country of the Rainbow Nation, the country of kind of sorting out their past and being able to put it behind them. They've never dealt with anyone who said, actually, you're full of shit, right?
Yep.
That's true.
And therefore, they don't have an immunity to it. It's like taking someone who's never had a tropical disease and putting them on a tropical island, and they get sick straight away because they don't know how to deal with it. They haven't got the antibodies for it. Our foreign relations and, what do they call them, DIRCO, Department of International Relations and Cooperation, they don't know anything about dealing with a nation that says, you're full of shit and you have horrible rules and you treat your people badly and you seem to be corrupt. They don't know how to deal with that, because every country in the world up to now has said, oh, you're so sweet, we like you. Been a bit patronizing, frankly.
Hugely.
So they don't know what to do. It's like a kid that's never been disciplined.
Mm.
And then suddenly some other parent says to the kid, you are not allowed to act that way in my house. And then the kid is like, what the fuck now? Because my parents let me tantrum and throw shit around and make a mess. And so we're going to learn some lessons, and I'm afraid it's gonna hurt all of us. It's not just going to hurt the ANC, you know.
But I think another good way to look at it is we've always been, I wouldn't say this government has been great, but it's always been like a, you know, when you're the A student and you used to get
an A. Well, they used to get all the credit.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then the one time you fail, you've never dealt with failure before. And correct. It's like, this is the moment. It's just, as I said, they have a spirit of corruption that we really need to tackle. That's the, like, if we can tackle that spirit, guys.
Do you think,
you know,
like, you know how we started the show with this discussion about people who get cards for themselves from their animals,
mm-hmm.
how pathetic that is, or people who have a work husband, a work wife. Do you think in our government there are their Valentine's things they're going to do? Because I do think they have a good time. They make sure they're having fun.
Of course.
I wonder if, like, roses get sent between ministers.
Of course. That's how the money needs to be eaten, right? It's not it's not shared with us. You don't have it, Gareth. Do you have it?
No,
so it's shared amongst them. You know, to be like, I scratch your back, you scratch mine, you know what I mean? And they'll give you that tender. But yeah, I think for the first time, they're actually failing, and everyone's looking at them and they're like, you're a failure.
Yeah.
And
and maybe this won't cover the cracks.
Yes, and now they have to deal with also the fact that for the past year, the past couple of years, we haven't seen a lot of economic growth. It's been 0.something. No, we need real numbers, Cyril. We need economic growth of 5% or something.
So maybe.
So now that there's people like on Sam, what are you doing? And they're looking at your line of like, oh, but we grew. And it's like, oh, what's 0 something? What's that?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like pushback. They're also going to wake up and actually build the schools, the roads, you know.
We can only hope.
The potholes. Please.
We've been.
Can you just work?
You need to care about people for that to happen. And they don't. Just don't.
They don't. Okay, yeah, they don't. I do think that if anybody wants to buy John Steenhuisen some pork crackling for Valentine, I mean, his wife won't be pleased, but you can try, you know? And Gwede Mantashe, he'll take anything you give him.
A personal trainer?
Except that.
All right. Well, happy Valentine's Day, everybody. Believe it or not, it's 8 o'clock already. It just feels like 10 minutes since we started the show. I hope it's felt good for you.
Cupcake!
There's Cupcake. Oh. Okay. So I hope you've enjoyed this morning. I certainly have. And we will see you on Monday, bright and early at 6 a.m. Have a good weekend. Bye.
Hey, I'll come look at this.
About a month ago, I like your pictures. About a month ago, I sent you a DM. About a month ago, I shot my shot and you ignored. Now Valentine is coming. Where is your boyfriend? You are sitting at home. Lonely!